Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text for our meditation this evening is the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 9, along with a few thoughts from our epistle lesson. You're welcome to follow along with that reading with me. About a week before the Transfiguration, the disciple Peter had made a great and true confession of faith to his Lord, saying to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one sent from God to be the Savior." And soon after that, we read that Jesus began to teach his disciples that he needed to suffer much, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again from the dead. He had indicated that before, but now Mark says that he said it very plainly. But right away, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, telling him he was wrong and he shouldn't be saying such things. Jesus then had to rebuke Peter in return, telling him that his mind was not on God's will, but on his own will and his own desires, and he was actually serving Satan, the devil, in the things that he was saying. Clearly, Peter and the other disciples still had much to learn about Jesus and about God's saving plan. Peter in particular could be so strong and right one moment and so weak and confused the next. Doesn't that sound like us all too often too? We can be so strong in faith, but when God's will and his ways don't seem to fit with our desires and our wishes, sometimes we question and we struggle as well, wishing he would do things our way. Well, Jesus cared about these disciples very much, as he cares for us still today. And Mark, who wrote this gospel, inspired by the Lord, makes it very clear that Jesus very purposely took Peter and James and John then along for his transfiguration, that their faith in him might be strengthened. We hear in our text that he took these three leaders among the disciples and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and then was transfigured before them. A little later, we hear that there appeared to them, to these disciples, Elijah and Moses, great prophets and leaders, talking with Jesus. And a little later, we hear that a cloud overshadowed them, seemed to include also the disciples. A cloud, as in the Old Testament, when God himself would appear to his people. And then the voice of God the Father came from the cloud telling the disciples, "This Jesus is my beloved Son, the Son of God and God the Son." And that was indicated too by the way that Jesus was transfigured. The Greek word here is a metamorphosis. It's a dramatic change in physical form, a striking alteration in appearance, the dictionary at least tells us. We might think of a change from a caterpillar to a butterfly, but in Jesus' case, it was much more than that. Jesus was a real man born of the Virgin Mary, a human being like us, and yet now the disciples had a glimpse of what he also was, God the Son himself. And they, or any of us, can only handle a glimpse in this life of the glory that Jesus had at that time. The clothes of Jesus were radiant, intensely white, whiter than bleach or Tide or OxyClean or any humanly produced product could make any kind of garment. And Matthew's gospel also says that Jesus' face shone like the sun at this time. We all know how long we could stare at the sun. We just couldn't handle that at all. Clearly, this amazing experience showed that Jesus really was God the Son. And God the Father literally then said to the disciples, "Keep on listening to him, to Jesus, and following him." Our text says also that the disciples were terrified by all these things going on. And Peter didn't even know what to say, except that he did think to want to keep the glory and the miracle of all of this going a little longer, at least, by following an Old Testament festival where God's people would build temporary booths and tent-like structures and remember days of the past. But that was all not to be. Suddenly, no one was with the disciples, but Jesus only. And he looked in his very ordinary way once again. And they all had to come down from that mountain of transfiguration to live their ordinary lives with joys, but with many challenges as well. And Jesus particularly had to come down also to do just what he had predicted just days before. And what we'll hear about this Lenten season, starting this coming Wednesday with our Ash Wednesday service. The transfiguration event then was also really to benefit Jesus himself. For Jesus was a real man, not always using his godly powers. And he was tempted, the scriptures say, as we are in every way. And yet he did not sin. He did not sin because he always was leaning upon his heavenly Father. We heard last week that Jesus kept praying to his heavenly Father, leaning upon him for his strength as God's beloved Son. And Jesus kept on listening to the word of God and sharing it with others, that word that came through Moses and Elijah and the other Old Testament writers, and he followed it too. And in fact, Luke in his gospel says that on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about his departure. Literally in the Greek, it's his exodus, his going away from this world at Jerusalem. And they were surely encouraging him to go through with everything that was his Father's will. They knew also, if you remember the story of Moses, he had his problems too. He didn't get to heaven because he was so great. He was forgiven by his Lord. And you remember, he couldn't get into the promised land, but he did get into the promised heaven, which is most important through the forgiveness and love of God. Elijah too had his ups and downs. There was a time where he wanted to just lay down and die because he thought there was nobody else really following the Lord. He too was forgiven and reached eternal life through the grace of God. And Jesus knew his Father's will, and that's what he did in the following days after his transfiguration. He did suffer many things and was rejected by the religious leaders and by many other people, almost everyone near the end. And he was killed in a most horrible way by crucifixion. And after 3 days, he rose from the dead. And above all, through all of that, he paid the penalty for the sins of his disciples and of the whole world, including also you and me, the penalty we should have paid ourselves. He conquered sin, Satan, and death for us all. And we receive forgiveness and new life and the promise of life everlasting in return for what Jesus did for us, simply through the gift offered us, the gift of faith and trust in Christ and what he did. And one day, we're also going to stand in glory with Moses and Elijah and with Jesus in heaven itself. How important this was also for Jesus' disciples again. They didn't do so well as Jesus, obviously, in the days that followed the transfiguration. They still didn't really understand Jesus' words about suffering and dying and then rising again. When he was arrested, they all ran away. Even Peter, in fear, denied 3 times that he ever knew Jesus, even though he'd been there on the mountain and seen this great and wondrous event. The disciples huddled in fear after Jesus died until he appeared to them as the risen Lord and forgave them completely and strengthened them for 40 more days as he taught them through his word. And then he and the Heavenly Father sent also his Holy Spirit to continue to lead and guide them. And of course, when the Spirit came, he also inspired biblical writers and preachers to put down in a perfect way the New Testament as well as the Old, so that to this day, we can still keep listening to Christ Jesus and hearing everything he did and continues to do for us as our Lord and as our Savior. And we can do just as the Father asks us to do, to keep listening to Jesus through his word. We have that word through which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, works. We also have the word connected with water in the gift of baptism, and the word connected with bread and wine in the very body and blood of Christ that were received in a few moments in the Lord's Supper. And even with all of that, the early church still was not perfect, except counted perfect by what Jesus had done for them and for us too, through Christ and his forgiveness. Peter and Paul had some difficulties with each other, as you read through the New Testament. Paul and John Mark, who wrote this gospel lesson, had some struggles and had a falling out at one point. The churches we read about were far from perfect churches. And we're certainly not sitting here today as a perfect church with perfect people. Even our children knew that. They could figure out right away which of the cups is the one that describes us as less than perfect people. Yet we also know exactly where our hope is in Christ. Paul put it so well in our epistle lesson for this evening. He said, "What we proclaim is not ourselves or our church or the great things we're doing, but we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves simply as servants," Paul wrote, "for Jesus' sake. For," he wrote, "God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It's his face and him that we need. In fact, in the very next verse, right after our reading for this day, is where Paul says, "We have this great treasure." It's the gospel, the good news of Christ our Savior, what he's done for us, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit and their work. "We have this great treasure in jars of clay," Paul says, jars that could easily be broken, as our lives are at times. We are the jars of clay, with all of our chips and cracks and imperfections at times. And yet we're also at the same time the very children of God through the love and forgiveness of Jesus and what he has done for us. And Paul says we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. He's the one who gives us hope always. And he is enough, our great God and our Savior Jesus, all we need for this life and for eternal life to come. Let us rise for prayer. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds safe, only where they are safe, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may remain standing now as we come to our Lord with our special prayers, if you are able to do so.